The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
On the screen, fasting will set free your spirit. And as you'll see in a few moments, a lot of other things. Our text for today's sermon is from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guest of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and on that day they will fast." And on that day they will fast. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is always meat and drink to us. And dear Lord, as we tackle a really big subject today, I ask for the divine inspiration of your Holy Spirit to speak to all of our hearts, not just one of us or two of us, Lord, but all of us, that we might understand the principles and the power that's laid out in this thing of fasting and prayer. Father, we submit our wills to you that you might speak to us today, and we do it in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Fasting is simple because you don't have to do anything. How often have you been to church services and here and other places and you're always told what to do? Do this, do that, come to church, give your money, you know, go here, go there. The nice thing about fasting is, for once in your Christian life, you don't have to do anything. And that sounds like something we might want to do? Nothing? And not only do you get to do nothing, you gain extra time. There's no cooking. All the wives said amen. You don't have to cook a thing. You don't have to go to the restaurants. You can save money. You don't have to spend time cleaning the dishes. All the guys said, amen. In my house, I clean the dishes. I use the electric device called a dishwasher, but I do put them in there. But you save time, you save money, and you know what you can do with that extra time? Because you all want more time, don't you? I know every one of you in here, one time or another, said to me, "Oh, I wish I had more time." You're going to have time to do something that you don't have time to do. You know what it is? Pray. Because you got nothing else to do. Because our lives are circled around food. First thing in the morning, we wake up, we want something to drink, or we want something to eat. And just as soon as that wears off, we say, "Well, we got to take a break because it's lunchtime." And after lunchtime, we, if you can, take a nap. But then when you wake up, you want a snack. And then you look forward to dinner. You know? So our lives are focused around food. You're going to have so much time, you're going to wonder why you never quit eating before. This is going to be so good for you. Now, I've got to tell you one thing. This is not a diet. If you want a diet, go see Jenny Craig. We're not into diets. But what we are into is fasting. The nice thing about it is anybody can do it. You don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to be anything. You don't even have to be saved. You can be lost as a goose and you can fast. You know, that happens all the time. People who don't know God, they fast all the time. Right after Mardi Gras, which we're going to have our party, there'll be countless people of a major denomination who will be fasting. There's Muslim thing. They fast every year. They have Ramadan. They do all their fasting. So you don't have to know God to fast. So anybody can do it. It doesn't take any study time. You don't have to break out your Bible, although you can. You don't have to do that. It doesn't take you any time to do it. It won't burn up any of your time. It won't cost you anything. And poor and rich can do it equally. Isn't this a great thing to do? And you never thought about all this before, huh? You thought I was going to give you something really, really hard to do. And it's really that you don't have to do anything and you get nothing but benefit from it. Now, in our cycle of life, we spend time together and we like to eat. And we know that because every time we have a food festival here, everybody shows up. We have a prayer meeting. And somebody said it. I didn't have to say it. You know my sermon. So food is a time when we fellowship with each other. Fasting is a time where we get to fellowship with God. Oh, how many of you like to be closer to God? Everybody wants to be closer to God. Are you willing to do whatever takes you closer to God? Some of you are raising your hand. Some of you are not. All right. By the time the morning is over, you're going to be begging me to let you fast. I got you now. Jesus gave us this principle of fasting to remind us that He is not here. Now, I don't want to burst your bubble, friends, but Jesus is not here. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. What He did, He said, it's profitable for you that I leave. And one of the reasons it's profitable, Jesus could only be at one place at one time. Even His resurrected body was only one place at one time. But He sent the Holy Spirit who could be everywhere. So the Holy Spirit is with us, and we have the record of Jesus, but Jesus in the flesh is not here. Okay? So we have the Holy Spirit, and we, in fasting, like this story said, when the bridegroom isn't there, His disciples will fast. Our bridegroom is not here. And when we fast, we remind ourselves that He is not here. You see, every time, once you decide to give something up, and let's pick on something easy, something that won't sustain your life, but all of you live with it, most of you, coffee. Oh, the nectar of the gods. How many times have you said this or heard others say, man, I can't get going till I get my cup of coffee. You know? Well, when you don't have your cup of coffee and you're trying to wake yourself up because you don't have that caffeine fix that kicks in to get you going, that absence is the moment in time that you can complain about not eating or you can say, I remember the Lord is not here. I remember that there is more to come. And you begin to take your focus away from earthly things and put your focus on spiritual things. You see what this is? It's an exercise in putting the flesh aside so that we can focus on spiritual things. Y'all want to get closer to God? Everybody raised their hand. I didn't see anybody didn't raise their hand. Not everybody raised their hand when I asked if you're willing to do anything. But if you want to get closer to God, this is one of the ways to do it. And tell you the truth, it's the easiest and best way to do it. You don't have to stay up all night and pray. You can go to bed and sleep. It'll do you good, because that way you won't be hungry until you wake up in the morning. But it'll be a reminder to you that there's something that's yet to come, and that yet to come is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in His resurrected body to snatch us out of this world when we get our resurrected body and we'll be with Him forevermore. When you get to heaven, you don't have to fast anymore. In fact, you get to eat all you want, and you won't get fat, and you won't get sick, you won't get upset stomach. It'll be good for you. But now, here, we can fast. Now, one thing about fasting is these things go together, fasting and prayer. You know why? Because it's virtually impossible to fast and not pray. Because if you make up your mind that you're not going to eat, soon as you get that hunger pain, you're going to need some help. And the only place you can get help at that time is from the Holy Spirit. And so you're going to pray. You're going to say, "Oh God, help me make it through this next hour. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it in another minute. I can see those Krispy Kreme donuts in my vision. God, I can smell the aroma of that pot roast cooking next door. God, I remember what it was like when I used to eat." And when that happens, you're going to start praying because you're going to need some help. You need divine help to get through this. It's not natural not to eat. God made us eating people. He put Adam and Eve in a garden, and one of the first things He said, it was, "Eat." And we took Him literally. We've been eating ever since. He said, "Multiply." We've been multiplying ever since. But now, the time is to fast. And when we fast, we can draw nigh to God in a way that we can't do otherwise. Fasting is not an end, but it's a means to an end. Y'all paying attention? I got your attention? Of all the things that I could tell you to do, I don't know of anything. I don't know of anything. There may be some other things, but I don't know of anything that will draw you closer to God than fasting will. It'll draw you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have never fasted? Let me see your hands. Anybody here never fasted? Everybody here has fasted at one time or another? I don't need to preach anymore. Go home and don't eat. Some of you just embarrassed. Maybe you didn't want to raise your hand. But it will draw you to a place that you've maybe never been to before. Now, I want to talk about some things this morning about how fasting can set you free. And the first thing is, you put an end to hard times. When you fast, you will put an end to some hard times. And let's look at the scripture, Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, the first part of verse 14. "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rent your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And He relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave." There's more to that. We can't see the bottom of that thing. It's not showing. It says He will leave behind a blessing. He will leave behind a blessing. All right? Fasting turns your heart towards God, and it turns His ear towards you. It turns your heart towards God, and it turns His ear towards you. Unfortunately, for most of us, the life we've been living many times has put us in life's doghouse. And it's smelly, and it's flea-ridden, and we don't like it in there. But we find ourselves in that place many, many times. And we find ourselves in that place because we make bad decisions. We decide the wrong thing. We make excuses as to why we do something, and we make a decision that gets us in trouble. You know, we like to blame the devil for everything, and he deserves a lot of the blame. But the truth is, a lot of the stuff that goes wrong in our lives has to do with us. We make the wrong decisions. And then we have to live with the consequences of those decisions. And then we don't know how to get free from that bad situation that we're in. Bad decisions, bad choices, bad behavior. We just do things that we shouldn't do. Every one of us. You. One day I'll put my little mirrors on the back of those chairs so you can look at it and make sure you're looking at you when I say these kinds of things. I'm not talking to somebody else. I'm talking to you. We do that little three-letter word. We sin. We do things that are wrong. And we pay the consequences for that. Oh, we're on the way to heaven, but we're going to live like hell till we get there. When we practice and live in sinful things in our lives. And sometimes we don't know how to get free from that. Well, this is one of the ways you get free is through fasting. Fasting can give us freedom from addictions that take over our lives. We can get rid of some of the addictions. Some of you have addictions that you don't know how to get rid of. You've prayed about it. You've got other people to pray about it. And you lament and you mourn and you grieve over the addictions in your life. And you don't know how to get free from them. I'm telling you that fasting will help you get over your addictions. No matter what it may be. You don't need to live with addictions in this life. You can get over them. I hate things that control me. I hate to be controlled. I didn't like it when my mother and daddy controlled me. And they did. They were control freaks. They thought they should tell me everything to do in life. Do this, do that. The first thing I did when I got old enough to make decisions for myself is I stopped putting cream and sugar in my coffee. Because my mother told me that I had to have cream in my coffee because it was good for me and I couldn't drink it without cream. Soon as I got old enough, I stopped putting cream and sugar in my coffee and I've never put it back in to this day. Because I don't want to be controlled. I don't like to work for people. Because they tell you what to do. That's why I have my own business. I just let all my customers tell me what to do. Those of you who want to get in business. I don't like things that control me. Just, I don't know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, I don't know. I used to like to drink Coca-Cola all the time. I was a Coca-Cola freak. I drank it with every meal. I drank it whenever I had the opportunity. And one day I said, you know, I can live without Coca-Cola. It's not good for me. I quit drinking Coke. Hadn't missed it. I drink water now. I guess in the last 15, 20 years, I probably hadn't had two carbonated drinks. You can drink them. It's all right. But they were controlling me. Just recently, I became aware of another addiction in my life I wasn't paying much attention to. Okay, you ready for this? Some of you are going to hate me for this. Chocolate. Addicted to chocolate. I love Hershey's dark chocolate bars. And not the little ones that you can just snuff down. I like the big ones. They're pounds. And I would buy them by the that stacks that big. And I put them in my pantry, and I like them cold, and I take one out, and I put it in the freezer, and get it nice and cold, and I'll sit there in front of the TV, and munching away on this thing, and I've been doing it for years and years and years. I was born with, my mother nursed me on chocolate milk. I love chocolate. But, right before Thanksgiving, I thought, this stuff is controlling my life. I wake up thinking about chocolate. I can't wait to get finished eating so I can have chocolate. So I decided, Morris, you can't have any more chocolate. And I haven't had chocolate since before Thanksgiving. And I am miserable about it. Because I love it. But things that control us, we need to break free from, whatever it may be. It may be as simple as chocolate. And although I try to entice myself to think that because I like to listen to the good news reports that says that dark chocolate is good for your heart. Yeah, but there's a lot of other stuff you think is good for your heart that's better than chocolate, all right? But trying to get to the place where you won't let things control you, whether it's food, whether it's drink, whether it's bad behavior, or whatever it is, you don't have to live under control of anything other than the Spirit of God. That's what you want to be under control of. And much of what's wrong in our lives is we've let other things control us. We say things like, oh, I've tried to quit smoking all my life, but I can't quit. Oh, yes, you can. Just try fasting for a while. You'll be happier to get a steak than you will be to get a cigarette. Trust me. You'll be glad to get a cup of coffee. Then you'll want a cigarette, but that's another thing. You can break free from these hard times and things of life that control you. Pornography. Nobody wants to admit to that terrible sin. And you know, pornography, while I'm on the subject, pornography is not just the stuff on the internet. Pornography is looking at magazines. This is mostly for the guys, although some women have the same problem. Looking at magazines the way you shouldn't. Looking at those actresses with the boobs hanging out on TV. You know? Oh, I don't look at porn. I just look at, you know, Desperate Housewives. And I'm desperate. This Victoria's Secret commercials. All of that stuff. Oh, I wouldn't look at pornography. Oh, no, not me. Man, that's cute. Oh, no, but I'm not really looking. I'm just gathering information for sermons and teachings. Be like old Job. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I might not sin against God. And if that problem is yours, you need to do something about it, because it is something like corrosion on a battery cable. It won't go away until you get rid of it. I didn't plan on saying all that, but take that for what it's worth. Anything that is controlling your life, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gambling, whether it's a bad temper, whether it's all those things, you need to get over those things. And fasting will help you. Fasting will help you solve problems. Some of you got problems you don't know how to solve. You've got messed up finances. Your finances are wrecked. You got credit cards you can't pay off. You've been borrowing money. You've been living on other people's money. You don't know how to get out of it. You, through fasting, you can begin to break the bondage of spending. In America, we're crazy about spending. We spend money like it's going out of style and that they're manufacturing it for it. In fact, we don't have the gold standard anymore. We have the plastic standard. Just give me another plastic card and pay 19, 20, 21, 29, 32% interest on your foolish spending. Fasting can help you break that and give you some wisdom as to how to solve your finances, how to solve your marriage problems, how to have a better marriage. While I'm on that subject, how come you're not here at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning? Brother Mike is back here faithfully at 9 o'clock and he's teaching the cockroaches and the church mice how to have better families. You need to be here. Mike's a great teacher. And if your marriage is good, come and learn some new things. You never know enough. Guys, you will never learn enough about your marriage. There's always more to be learned. Just ask your wives. They'll tell you. And if you'll come, they'll come with you. Another commercial. They have a job. You got a problem. You got a problem with your boss. You know, maybe that's you're working for an ungodly person. And you need some help and some wisdom with that. Fasting can help you with that. You may be in a hopeless situation. There's no hope. You don't know what to do. There's no way out of it. Fasting can help you turn the tide in that situation. God can deal with, in a relative instant, what you've been dealing with for months and maybe years. You can do it in fasting. If there was no other reason for fasting other than this one segment about getting free of hard times, you should be fasting. It'll help you. This is good medicine. And keep remembering what I told you at the beginning. You don't have to do anything. You just have to refrain from doing something. Why should you fast? Because fasting shows God and it shows you that you're serious about what's going on in your life. And you won't let things continue going the way they're going. You make up your mind you're going to do something about it. And through fasting, you can do something about it. Now, I got to tell you firsthand right now, all right? You can blow this off and say, oh, you know, man, there's no way I can do without food. There's no way I can do without coffee. There's no way I can do without my bonbons or whatever else that we gorge ourselves with. You say, oh, I can't do that. Well, then, and if you're having troubles in your life, well, just have fun living in your troubles. If you love your troubles enough to keep living with them, good luck to you, because that's all you're going to have. But if you want to get out of the situation you're in, I'm offering you a way out. Liz gave us a scripture earlier, and I'll make an application for him. It says that when the temptations that are common to men come, God opens a door, a way for you to escape. I'm offering a way for you to escape some of the things that have been setting you. You don't know how to get out of the situation. I'm telling you, this is a way to get out of hard times through fasting. Amen? That's pretty good, amen. Number two, when you pray, your prayers get answered. Look at Matthew 6, 16 through 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces and show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting. In modern day context, it says put a mint in your mouth so you won't smell bad if you're fasting, all right? You don't have bad breath, right? Wash your face so it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done, I have to look at my notes here, and your Father who sees what is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He will reward you. He sees what others don't see. Fasting puts the issues of life between you and God alone. You bring these things to you and God alone. Mano y mano. Womano y womano. One-on-one. You and God facing the problem. Too often, we rely on other people's advice, and advice is good, instead of listening for God's leading in a situation. Fasting will give you clearer insight in decision-making. Seeking God will give you wisdom about the forks in the road. Who was it? Yogi Bear said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. That's what we do. We just take it. We just go whatever way we should go. Some of you are facing big decisions. You don't know what to do. You don't know whether you should go right or go left, or go back or go forward. Fasting will give you wisdom in making decisions. Why? Because you will be in contact with God. You will be denying yourself. You will be spending time praying, seeking God, and it will give you wisdom that you need to make the decisions in life that we all have to face. Fasting gives you clearer insight, whether it's a job, whether or not you should move to another part of the country, whether it's dating. Those of you who are not married, if you're married, the only person you can date is your spouse, all right? Whether it's ministry, what you should do. You know, a lot of you here have told me this, that you feel God calling you in the ministry, but you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do next. Well, fasting will help you to discover what God's plan is for your life. You can fast for health reasons. You can fast for health reasons or for healing. If you have a loved one that's terminally ill, fast for them. Okay. This is what we like to do at church. Oh, pastor, you know, my leg hurts, my back hurts, my heart hurts. You know, would you pray for me? And so I get a bottle of oil, and we put a little dabble do you on you, and we pray for you for a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and that's all the prayer we need. That's all the prayer we want. And nothing happens. And we wonder why. How's about praying like we really needed God? How's about fasting like we really needed God to show up? We want to instant everything. We instant drive through food. We're instant drive through prayer. Just drive by the church and get prayed for. Then everything will be fine. That won't work. It hasn't worked. It isn't working. We need to do something different. If you've got a physical ailment, or if you've got a loved one, someone you care about, a friend, a parent, a spouse, a child that's sick, fast for them. Show God you're serious about this. Lament before Him. That's what they did in the Bible. Praying and fasting. Those things go together. We want the easy way out. Nobody wants to do hard things. I told you many times about my friend John Bordelon, who was dying of cancer many, many, many years ago. And how we prayed for him and God healed him. What I very seldom tell you is that we fasted for how long, Pat? Do you remember? Was it 7 days? Something like that? And I think it was 7 days. We had seven men and women who fasted. And then we went and prayed for him. And then he got healed. Oh, you mean we'll have to fast for 7 days? Might have to fast for 40 days. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm telling you that in fasting there is healing. I don't understand it all. I don't know how these light bulbs work, but they work. In fasting, in prayer, there are many things that can happen, and healing is one of those things. You can pray for a more consistent spiritual life. Some of our spiritual lives are like yo-yos. We're bipolar when it comes to our spiritual life. You know, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, Jesus is good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Today, and then tomorrow, I wonder where God is. Oh, man, I wonder where God is. We're bipolar. We can't seem to get up and stay up. Fasting will get you up. It'll move you from the fleshly domain to the spiritual domain. If you want to have a better life in Christ, fasting is a good way to get there. It's a fast way. Maybe that's why they call it fasting. It's a fast way to get there. If you want a better spiritual life, consider fasting. It's easy for us Christians to grow cold. Some of us are so cold, we would make the glaciers of the Antarctic look hot. We got nothing going. All we got is a few religious habits. We show up to church every other week. Or every 3 weeks. Or we pray a little prayer. God bless this meal. Thank you, Father, for this meal. Amen. Oh, God, give me a good parking place at the mall. Oh, God, give me a raise. Man, if that's a spiritual life, forget about it. They got better programs at the Moose's and the Goose's Lodge than we got. If you want to get serious about God and get heated up, this is a way to do it. It's not the only way, but it's probably the most powerful way that I know to do it. Your prayers will get answered. Number three. You'll be prepared for ministry. Let's look at the scripture, Acts 13, 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, by the way, those of you who have computers, or just go get a concordance in the back of your good Bible or get one of the strongest concordances, and just look up how many times the word fasting and fast is in the Bible. I'm not even touching the surface of things today. They were worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, you mean if I'm fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit could say something? You might be listening for the first time. You'll have the spiritual wax out of your ears. And the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Fasting prepares you through ministry, through words of knowledge, whispered to your heart, when you fast and pray. Fasting is to ministry like fire is to cooking. You want to eat a cold steak? I don't think so. You want to eat a cold raw potato? I don't think so. We like our food hot. We like it warmed up. We like it cooked. Well, it's the same thing about our ministry. It gets warmed up and cooked and a flame set in it when we fast and pray for the Lord. You want to know what God wants you to do? Start fasting and praying about it. And stop asking advice from every Tom, Dick, and Harry preacher and minister and person in it that you know. Seek God. God, what would you have me to do? And let the Holy Spirit reveal to you what He wants you to do. Fasting gives you spiritual fortification, and it gives you spiritual equipment that you need in order to serve God. Fasting is an essential part of ministry. You need to fast. It needs to be a regular part of your life. I wouldn't normally tell you this because now you'll know something that maybe you don't need to know, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you anyway. It's been my practice that I fast every Sunday before I come here to after services. I don't need a big breakfast or a lot of stuff because I want to be spiritually in tune. When I come here, I want to be listening. You may come here, you know, not prepared, but I'm coming prepared. And you need to be a person who fasts. You don't need to be the preacher to fast. In fact, if all of you fast when you got here on Sunday, I wonder what would happen.
Well, amen.
I don't know. I never had it happen before.
Praise the Lord.
It may be something awesome. You might walk in this place and the roof get blown off. You know, might have tongues of fire all over everyone.
Amen.
You might have a great revival break out if everybody got together and fasted and prayed. Ministry, it's necessary to have fasting. Fasting helps leadership decide whether or not you should be in leadership. As the leaders fast and pray, one of the things that I drive Greg crazy about is I never rush into appointing anybody to anything. Those of you who've been around for a while would know it's been a long time before I decided to appoint anybody to ministry in this church. Because I'm waiting on the Lord. I want to make sure it's God's appointed people that get appointed to work in His church. And we need to fast and pray and believe. I believe I just lost my mic, did I not? Is it working? Is it on? It sounded like it shut down. It's just the power of the Holy Ghost overpowering the sound system. But it'll prepare you. Fasting, it needs to be a part of your life if you want to know what God wants you to do. You may feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit, but if you won't fast, you won't know what it is that God wants you to do until you begin to fast and pray. Lastly, you'll strengthen the church by fasting. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says this, Hanani, one of my brothers, this is Nehemiah speaking, came from Judah with some other men. Now, they were in captivity, all right, just to set the stage for you. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the provinces or in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Churches are weak because they're unwilling to do the difficult things that it takes to strengthen the church. Can I say that again? Churches are weak because we're unwilling to do the hard things that are necessary to strengthen the church. What we want to, somebody called it easy believism. You know, I just want to know I'm on the road to heaven. It's not enough. This church, New Beginnings Church, must move out from the place that we are today. We cannot stay here any longer.
Amen.
It's time for us to move. You know, when God had the children of Israel in the wilderness. He told them when to move. They could have gotten out of the wilderness a lot sooner had they followed God's plan, but because they didn't, they languished in the desert for 40 years. We've been languishing in our own spiritual desert for 7 years here at New Beginnings. And I'm telling you, as a pastor of this church, it's time for us to move on. We need to get out of this desert that we've been in. It's not good for us. It's not healthy for us. There's a better place that God wants us to be, and I can't make it happen. I don't preach enough good sermons. I don't study hard enough. I don't pray enough. I don't fast enough to get it done. We must do this together.
Amen.
And if you're not willing to do this, then maybe this isn't the place you ought to be.
Come on, amen.
We need a group of people who are sold out for the Lord and willing to do what it takes to get us out of this place.
Amen.
The vision God gave me about New Beginnings Church is not being fulfilled here today. It's not. And it's going to take us together getting us out of where we are. Now, the remarkable thing about me telling you that is that we're doing better now than we've done in many, many, many years around here. We've got more good people coming, you for instance. We've got more finances than we've had in a long time. You know, there's no strife in the church that I know of. We've got a lot of good things going, but I'm telling you, this is not the place. God is more for us as individuals. He wants to do more in us and through us than is happening right now. And this is a way for us to get out of where we are, is through fasting. The church grows when the saints get serious. I like old Nehemiah. He's one of my heroes in the Bible. Because when old Nehemiah, in fact, you can back that up to the scripture for me. The one more back. I could read this a little bit differently. When I started right here. And when I questioned them about the Jewish remnant, I could say, when I questioned them about the saints that are surviving Katrina, and also about Slidell, New Beginnings Church, they said to me, those who survived Katrina and are back in the churches are in great trouble and disgrace. The walls of the church are broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Flip that over. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. Are you weeping? Is your heart broken about where we are, where you are? Not where we are, where you are. Are you happy where you are? Have you reached the pinnacle of spiritual success? Are you at that place where you're overflowing with God's presence every day? And you know that God is doing great things in your life? If the answer to that is yes, come see me because I need some help. If the answer to that is no, do what Nehemiah did. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, got the city established, the temple was reignited under Ezra, and there was great revival through the word of God in Jerusalem because of one man who would not sit still, but said like Joshua, I believe of old, Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me. It's not about everybody else. Look in the mirror. It's about you. What can you do? I heard somebody this morning on the radio quoted John Kennedy with a great inaugural address when he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Don't be asking what this church can do for you. What can you do for this church? And one of the things you can do is to do nothing by fasting with me for the next 3 days. That's what I'm asking of you. I don't ask a lot of you around here. I'm too easy on you. I ought to be tougher on you. But I don't ask you for a lot. But I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to strengthen yourself for your good, not me, but for your good, to do this, to collectively put our hands and hearts and minds and spirit together to do this. It's not going to be easy. You're going to get hungry, and you're going to want more, and you're going to think of excuses not to do it. Oh, well, it's just too hard. I don't want to do it. I want my Krispy Kremes. Lord knows I would need my coffee. But I'm telling you, if we're going to go anywhere, this is a way for us to get there. And I've been so excited, I don't know what it's going to be like 3 days from now. But I'm excited about the thought, if we all did it, if we all did it, if we all made up our mind, we are going to do what that crazy one-armed pastor wants us to do. We are going to fast and pray for 3 days. And glory to God, I don't know what will happen, but I wouldn't miss being here Wednesday night for anything under the sun. Fasting and praying will break the bonds of this church. We need to fast for leadership. I need you fasting for me. Some of you, the only time you think about me is when you're mad at me. Or you wish I'd do things differently. But I need you to fast for me. I need some divine wisdom from God about where we should go and what we should do. And I'll get it if you'll fast for me and pray for me. I will. And for Greg and for Wayne. These are the pastors of the church. Pray for us. Fast for us. Otherwise, it's going to be business as usual. We need to fast about worship. Our worship needs help. I'm tired of CDs. They're okay, but I want some live people. I want some musicians. I want some singers. I want them up here. Lead us in worship. There's a dynamic that we can't get through the CDs. We need to worship and fast about our worship. We need to fast for miracles. Some of you need miracles, and you want to know why you won't get any. But if we all fasted together and we told about what we needed, we might get some miracles for a change. Thank you for those amens. I'm tired of living on yesterday's mountains. I got a bunch of stories. I could tell you story after story. I could keep you here from now until dinner time telling you about the miracles that I've seen. But you know what? It's all yesterday's manner, and it doesn't do me a bit of good today. I want to hear good things. I want to hear things like we heard this morning about Bobby. You know, the cancer smaller. But that's not good enough for me, Beverly. I want him to come in here and say, there's no cancer in my body anywhere. I want to have another John Bortle on. I want Bobby Cortez in here telling me that story. But our little arrow prayers ain't going to make it, friends. We need some fasting for miracles of God. We need some land. We need some land to build a building on. I love Bill Borsche. He's one of my best friends in the world. I'm tired of giving him rent every month. I want us to have our own place. I want it paid for. I don't want to have to go to the bank with my hat in my hand and try to borrow money. I want it paid for. I want to build us a beautiful building that we can have and a place that we can grow for the future. And after we're dead and gone, if the Lord tarries, it'll grow for our children and their children after them. But it's going to take money to get the job done. And if you don't have the money, let's fast and pray about getting it. Maybe your rich uncle, thank you. Yeah. Maybe your rich aunt and uncle will kick the bucket and give you some money. I tell you, $1 million will get us started. That's all. Just $1 million. That's chump change for Jesus. Don't make me go borrow money. I hate to borrow money. I hate it with a passion. Don't make me have to go to the bank and borrow money to build a building. I want you to pray in the money that we need. And fasting and praying will get us there. You need to fast about your own finances. Get you out of debt. If you're in debt, you need to be out of debt. I don't believe you ought to owe anybody anything. You need to get. You know what? You don't have to be rich to get out of debt. You just have to manage what you got. Pat and I were talking about that yesterday. We were talking about some financial things in our own family. And you know what? I never have made a lot of money. Some of you think I'm rich. I never have made a lot of money. We just managed what we had. We just denied ourselves. We had delayed gratification. We didn't buy stuff. And today I drive around a nice, beautiful BMW. I love my BMW. I don't covet it, but I like it. You know? The reason I got the BMW, because I didn't get one when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s. I denied myself so I could have later. I don't need to work now. Thank goodness the church doesn't need to pay me. God pays me. But I did it because we denied ourselves before so that we can have it now. Deny yourself now so you'll have it later. In fact, I want Mike, one of the things I want Mike to do, and I'm putting him on notice, I don't want him to do it in his family thing. Mike knows a lot about finances, how to get out of debt and things. I want him to teach you some stuff about finances. Some of you in debt don't know how to get out. Mike can show you not only how to get out, but how to save money for the future so you get to be old like me. You won't have any financial problems. God forbid, if you don't do something about your finances, one, your husband dies, or the main breadwinner in your family dies, how are you going to live? Off of Social Security? Fat chance. Fasting about your finances. And fasting about this church growing. We got too many red seats. I'm tired of looking at them ugly red seats. I want to see beautiful people in them. I want them filled up. I want to have to break out them dirty old iron chairs we got in the closet we're going to take out next week and put them out here because we don't have enough room for people. Growing. Sharing the gospel. We're going to be doing some stuff. I'm telling you what, just get your skate shoes on, honey. We're skating this year. I got plans already about what we're going to do. We're going to reach out. We're going to do some things this year to help us, but we're going to begin by fasting. Let me ask you this question. Do you care? If you don't, fast so you'll get some fire in you so you will care. And if you do care, fast so that the rest of us can catch up with you. This fasting will do us good. I'm going to close. But I'm not finished. I've got more to say, but I'm going to close. Bring up that last slide for me, that closing slide. This is a challenge. I want you to fast with me. I'm going to do it. And I want you to join with me. We're going to begin. We're going to fast Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, all right? 3 little days. I want you to fast. Now, in your bulletin, you'll see some things about how to fast. But bring up this slide. I want to just briefly comment about these things. There are different kinds of fasting. Just hit the enter key, Mike.
Does everybody
have a bulletin? This will be in your bulletin, but I just want to bring it up here. There's a normal fast, and a normal fast is where you drink only liquids. You stick to water, juices, you know, that kind of stuff. Let me make a recommendation for you. If you're going to drink the liquids you don't like. All right? If you like Pepsi Cola, don't drink it. Drink grape juice. If you like grape juice, don't drink it. Drink Pepsi. If you like water, drink it. It'll be good for you. The best liquid fast for you to do is just drink water. All right? But if you have to have liquids, go ahead and have some liquids. But change things around. If you wake up in the morning and you just got to have that cup of coffee, don't drink it. Get yourself some apple juice and drink it. Some of you are nervous already. The thought of not having a cup of coffee who makes you Brother Wayne breaking out in eyes. The object is, if you gotta have something to drink, don't. You're looking for nourishment to keep you alive, not something to satisfy your palate. By the way, you coffee drinkers, if you get off a regular coffee for 3 days, you're going to be detoxed. Get that caffeine out of your system. And if you don't think you got it in your system, you wait till about 2 days and you start getting a headache and you're going to wonder why. It's not because you're hungry, it's because you're getting off of caffeine. Just make up your mind you're going to do it. If you got a problem, go home, take your coffee pot, unplug it, and put it in the garage under a sack for 3 days. Just, the point is, I want you to do something different so that your flesh will know that you're under control of the Holy Spirit and you're going to be in touch with God. So that would be a normal fast, only liquids. The only solid food I will let you have, if you got to have it, I probably recommend it, is a little mint. Because when you fast, sometimes you will not have sweet breath, all right? And you don't want to knock people over. They think they're slaying the Holy Spirit, all right? So you might want to take a little mint to keep your breath fresh, okay? The second fast is a partial fast, where you omit certain foods or meals. Now, if you've got a physical problem, if you're under doctor's care, I would recommend to you that you not do what we have up here is a normal fast. If you have to take food with your pills, and some of you sick people say, oh, thank God. Thank God. But I don't want you eating what you like. If you got to eat something, eat crackers. You know? Don't get a steak. If you love steak, eat fish. If you love fish, eat chicken. You know? If you hate green beans, eat them. We're trying to sustain you so you won't die, not engage your palate so you taste and feel good. I want you to be thinking about it. You're denying yourself to be spiritual. And when you're denying yourself, just begin to pray. Thank God that you can do it. Y'all got that picture? So a partial fast is, if you have to eat, go ahead and eat. The third fast is what is an absolute fast. That's no solids and no liquids. I would not recommend you do that unless the Holy Spirit tells you to do it. It can be done, but it needs to be spiritual, all right? And the Lord really needs to lead you to do that. I think water is probably the best one if you really want to fast well. But if God calls you to do it, hey, just go ahead and do it. Now, with that said, Pat's going to be my handy-dandy helper. Pat, would you pass out that clipboard? Because I want everybody to sign up. And by the way, this is, you know when your school told you not to look at your neighbor's paper? I want you to look at your neighbor's paper. I want you to see whether or not they're signing up. I don't want your phone number. I just want you signing on a thing that you're going to fast in some way, shape, or form, thank you, over the next 3 days, all right? Also, when they fasted, they prayed, they wore sackcloth and ashes. Well, I thought about getting Miss Judy to make us all some sackcloth clothes. She did such a good job for the children's pageant. But I got Pat to do something even better. As you see on my little pal here, there's a little sackcloth that I've got pinned. I want you to wear this for the next week. Pat, pass them out. I want you to wear this little thing as a reminder to you more than anyone else that you are fasting. Now, if somebody comes up to you and says, duh, what's that thing on your chest? You can say, in the Bible. And now you got a spiritual conversation going, right? Which I always wanted to do with lost people. In the Bible, at times people fasted and prayed and wore sackcloth and ashes. This little thing is sackcloth, and it just kind of reminds me that I'm in a time of praying. And you don't need to tell them you're fasting, and you don't have to give the big deal. But that's probably going to open a dialogue that you want to have. This is just our sackcloth to remind us. Okay. Now, don't be a wimp. Don't wimp out. I don't want you wimping out. I really want you to do this. If you don't have medical problems, I want you to go for the liquid only fast. If you got a medical problem, that's different. But if you're just hungry, suck it up and fast and pray. Okay? Now, in addition to the next 3 days, my options were a 40-day fast, a 21-day fast, a 14-day fast. But I thought, I'm just going to be easy on you and just go for three. One would have been too easy. So 3 days is what I'm asking for. But for the rest of January, every Sunday, I want you to fast before you come here on Sunday. And we're going to remind you, Judy, I don't know how we're going to do it. We're going to email or mail or call everybody to remind you to fast on Sunday, okay? I want you fasting on Sunday before services. After services, you can go to Ryan's or wherever you want to go, pick out. But I want you to, unless you have a medical reason, I want you on liquids only on Sunday morning, okay? Just for January so far. I got plans for us for this year, but just a little bit at a time. Okay? And I want you to check up on each other. I want you to look around. You know your friends that aren't here today? They're not getting off scot-free. I want you to call them. It wouldn't do any good for me to call them. Just the pastor. I want you to tell them, get on the internet, download the pastor's sermon from Sunday, and listen to it. By the way, we're all fasting for the next 3 days. Are you going to join with us in fasting? If they say no, say, go listen to the CD. And then come back and tell me no. I want you to encourage those that are not here so that they'll know. And I'm going to send them a letter. Judy, we're going to do that Tuesday. We're going to send a letter to everyone who's not here. And I know they're not here because everybody who's here has got a little label, and so I know who's not here, okay? So we're going to send out letters to make sure they know. Don't you love this? Isn't it fun? Isn't it fun? Now, finally, I want to give you a few tips on fasting, all right? First of all, just hit the inner key on that mic. There we go. Ask God for help. Don't try to do this in your own flesh. You can't do it. You won't be able to do this by yourself. Don't call me and ask me for help because I'll be just as miserable as you will, all right? Ask God to help you. And He'll give you the help that you need, all right? I believe God had, I am positive that God told me to do this. I'm real, it's been on my mind for a long time. I've been mentioning it to you for several months now. So ask God for help. Secondly, if you got a medical problem, ask your doctor. All right? Some of the medications that you're taking says, don't stop this, or it says make sure you have food with this. So if you have a problem, talk to your doctor. Okay? Just call them up. By the way, they'll probably want to send you over to Mandeville for a while when they find out you're fasting. Okay, but that'll be fun. That'll be an interesting conversation between you and your doctor telling you want to fast. All right? Read your Bible. Pat gave you some good illustrations this morning about read your Bible. Keep your Bible handy. Go to the Psalms. Go read what David had to say. David was in hard times a lot. Go read what he had to say. Go in the Psalms. In fact, Proverbs is another good, easy place to go. Don't go read Genesis and Numbers and Leviticus and all other stuff. Stick to Psalms and Proverbs, all right? It'll do you good. Instead of eating, because you don't have to cook and you don't have to sit down at the table and eat, as a family, you could sit down and read the Bible together. You could eat of the Word of God, all right? I want you to pray often. Now, you will pray. I promise you. Like they said, there's no such thing as taking prayer out of school so long as you have tests. There's no such thing as taking prayer out of fasting. You will pray. If you're going to do this, you're going to need to pray. But pray often, all right? Worship often. Take a little time to worship the Lord. Now, some of you don't know how to worship God. Some of you don't even know how to pray, all right? Prayer is easy. Just tell God what's on your mind. God, I'm hungry. Help me, help me, help me, help me. That's prayer. Worship is what we did this morning. You just start telling God how great He is. Hallelujah, Lord. You're so great. You're the glory. You're everything, Lord. Just begin to tell Him how great He is. You can repeat yourself. He doesn't mind you repeating yourself in praise. Begin to worship God vocally. Don't do it quietly. Do it vocally. You need to hear yourself. And the more you hear yourself, it's contagious. It'll keep you going, all right? So worship often. And finally, keep a journal. Get a pencil, a pad, and keep it nearby. And do this for me. Do this. At least once a day, write down one sentence. At least once a day, write down one sentence. God will speak to you and tell you what to write. You will hear from God in a way that you've never heard from Him before during this fast. And just write it down. You may want to share some of those things with us. That'll be up to you. But it'll be for you. Can you do that? Once a day, one sentence. Now you can do more, but I'm just asking you to do that. And that'll keep you a little journal. And we'll be doing more journaling, hopefully, throughout this year. Because that's an art that we've lost. And I think we need to get back to that. Okay? So, oh, I ran out of notes. That must mean I ran out of sermon. Is this going to be great or what? It's going to be more than great. I believe it's going to be a personal breakthrough for many of you. Some of you have been fighting some really hard stuff, you know. You've just been battling battles, and you don't know how to get out of your situation. You know, the devil's been on your case. Life's been on your case. You've been disgusted with yourself and your spiritual walk. You've been wondering if you ever knew God anyway. You know, you don't know God from my proverbial fence post, you know. You don't know what's going on anymore. This will get you there. It'll get you to where you want to be. If after, at the end of 3 days, if this didn't work for you, you tell me about it, okay? Because we're going to go on a 7-day fast together. And if that doesn't work, we'll go on a 14-day fast. And we'll keep going until we get a breakthrough. All right? But this is the beginning. And I'm confident. I'm not always so confident about stuff, but I'm confident this. You will not be disappointed. You will be here telling me wonderful things. Now, because I'm cardinal, I'm just a man, Summer, and I have fleshly desires like everyone else. And I'm willing to not eat for 3 days. I am not willing to miss the LSU football game tomorrow night to get together and pray. And neither are you, because I've asked a bunch of you. You all told me you look at the game. So we're not going to meet tomorrow night. You can look at the game drinking your water or your orange juice. No tater chips. No dip. You know? None of the stuff you really love. None of that. But the alternative was I was really going to put the heat on you to come here tomorrow and make you feel so bad if you didn't come, you think you're going to hell. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let you go, all right? But Tuesday, you're going to be back here. And I want to see every one of you here Tuesday because you'll be fasting for 2 days. You need to get together with us. You're going to need to be with us on Tuesday, all right? So I want you to be here Tuesday. Brother Wayne's going to be leading us. We're going to have worship and prayer. And whatever Wayne does, I don't know. Wayne's out of control. I can't control him. But whatever it'll be, he'll be fasting for 2 days. He's going to be really pumped up, all right? So Wednesday, Tuesday night. Then Wednesday night, we're going to get together. Brother Greg is going to be leading us. God knows his daddy and mom, he's out of control. He's been out of control for a long time. So after 3 days of fasting, I don't know what he'll be doing, but we're going to be here. This is me. I'm not doing anything for the rest of the week but fasting. All right? So I'll probably chirp in occasionally, but it's hard for me to be quiet. But I am expecting an awesome gathering together Wednesday night. I'm believing it. And if it's not awesome, me and God are going to have a long talk.
Well.
That's what he'll say. Well. All right? Is this going to be fun?
Yeah.
I love you, Pastor Morris.
I love you.
Thank you for stretching me. I needed to be stretched. And I know I can do it. I believe I can do it. I'm like the little train. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I believe that you can. Let's all stand. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Who wants to dismiss us in prayer? Somebody fired up. Go, Mike. You look fired up.